That's one view from inside Syria. The optimism expressed by the bishop is all but impossible to reconcile with the images we've been seeing for months of what's happening in the country. Despite a government ban on foreign journalists traveling there, hundreds of photos and videos of the violence in Syria are available on the web. Reporter Asia Bundawi spoke to some of the activists working to make that possible.
Unlike in Egypt, Tunisia, and Libya, the Syrian revolution will not be televised, but it is on YouTube. A loose-knit group of cyber activists made up of Syrian expats from around the world have smuggled satellite phones, laptops, and high-definition video cameras into Syria and smuggled information and videos out. Activists have even launched their own online news channel. They call it the Sham News Network, after the Arabic name for the Levant region.
Sham News Network was inspired by what happened in Tunisia and Egypt. A lot of founders were from Daraa. And our goal was to show the world what the regime is doing.
Enes, whose last name we won't use for security reasons, is one of dozens of activists based in Detroit, Washington, D.C., and Chicago, who upload and verify videos, host servers, and coordinate and dispatch citizen journalists on the ground. Another activist is Mona Jundi. Jundi is a Syrian living in Flint, Michigan. She's one of the main curators and moderators for the Syrian Days of Rage Facebook page. It's one of the most popular English language websites for the Syrian revolution and gets more than 16 million hits each month.
Twitter was a big source, is a big source of information. Following now various SNC members, international bloggers, you know, they have the links to what's going on. So we were saying that you had to post twice every hour. I mean, Syria, I think, is literally the first virtual revolution. We know day to day in each city what exactly is happening. We're seeing it on a daily basis, despite the media ban.
Mona was born and raised in the U.S., but her father's family is from Daraa, the birthplace of the Syrian revolution. She says that while she's had little communication over the years with her family in Syria, things really hit home after a tragic event involving her uncle.
They showed up to one of my uncle's house and they came to take his 16-year-old son, and he was basically begging them, you know, please, you know, don't take him. And he's older, he's 70 years old, he's frail, he's like 5'5". You know, basically they took their guns and they really beat him bad. Until he was in a coma, because he was saying to them, you know, I'm as old as your father, you know, have some respect.
Mona's uncle was beaten to death by security forces in Syria, and his killing spurred her family to become even more active in the revolution. While her cousins back in Daraa are on the ground protesting, Mona has taken up the role of online activist.
The reality is that there's these hundreds of thousands of people that are on the street. They're being attacked. They're limited in what they can do and how they can organize. All these Syrian activists on the outside saying, we want to support what you're doing. You know, we have mobility. We have the ability to speak to government representatives. We have the ability to provide, you know, finances. So to me, it's the relationship is support of the revolution.
Almost all the expats I've spoken to have a story about the violence and sometimes tragic death of activists at the hands of the regime's security services. It puts into stark reality how relatively sheltered they are operating from safety in the U.S. Khalid Saleh lives in Dearborn, Michigan. He was appointed by the Revolutionary Council of his hometown of Deir ez-Zor to be one of their representatives.
I think some of the activists working outside do not feel necessarily the pain that, and what the revolutionaries are going through on the ground. To them, you know, we hear about the deaths, and it's like, well, 10 people died today, 20 people died the day after. Sometimes they're not very connected to this. It's a lot different for me when I talk to somebody at night and I try and call him in the morning and he is gone.
And that's why a lot of the activists in and outside of Syria keep their identities a secret. Cyber activist Enes says he's well aware of the danger citizen journalists put themselves in every day in Syria to get him information.
It wasn't an easy commitment to commit, okay, I'm going to send you pictures and videos and tell you about what's going on. At least 8 to 10 people lost their lives. Some of them were captured. Actually, they were on the news, like on Syrian TV, admitting their relationship with SNN.
Despite this, Enes says the time for fear and anonymity is over. He says sharing his own identity openly for the first time is indicative of a turning point in the Syrian revolution. For The World, I'm Asia Bundawi in Washington, D.C.